How love has a math of its own.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are still in the gospel writings of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 20. Last week we stopped at verse 16, and this week we will be starting from verse 17. Last week the word tells us the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. So we are going to be going on to verse 17 of Matthew 20, but before we begin, let us pray. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here another evening to go into your word. We pray in the name of Jesus that you'll continue to illuminate your word to us. We pray, Almighty God, that you, O God, will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. O God, we pray that we will walk by faith and not by sight, because your word, O God, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, O God, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by your word. So we pray today that as your word come forth, O God, it will find that good soil in our hearts. O God, it will germinate and it will bring forth fruits of righteousness. We pray in the name of Jesus for those who are saved, O God, that they will be strengthened in the inner man, in the outer man. O Holy Ghost, we pray that you will fall afresh, O God, upon your people. We pray for those that are not yet saved, that they will come to a saving knowledge of who you are. Oh God, we pray that faith will arise in their hearts as they hear your word. Lord, we look to you this evening. No other help but you, oh God. We know, mighty God, that your word is alive and active, as your word said, sharper than any two-edged sword. So I pray that your word will pierce the hearts of your people, bringing forth change. Lord, we thank you again for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us into all truth. And we thank you, oh God, almighty Lord, that your word will do the work in the hearts of your people. So we give you honor, we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and we say amen. Amen. So we see we are going to be continuing from Matthew 20 verse 17. Matthew 20 verse 17. The word of God says, "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed,'" verse 18, "'to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death.'" So we see Jesus here speaking of his death, speaking of what will happen to him when he goes up to Jerusalem. He said the Son of Man will be betrayed, and we know Judas betrayed Jesus. He betrayed them to the chief priests and to the scribes. And the word said they will condemn him to death. So we see where he was condemned to death. But the word also tells us, Jesus himself spoke, that he laid down his life. No man took his life from him. He laid down his life. But he came on that mission. He came to die for all of humanity, people of God. So all of what took place had to take place so that you and I today can have life and have it more abundantly. So we see he spoke of his death when he goes to Jerusalem, what would happen to him. Look on verse 19 of Matthew 20. "And deliver him to the Gentiles." They will deliver him to the Gentiles. So we see where he was delivered to the Roman governor. And he will be delivered to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. So Jesus was telling them, and although Jesus was telling them all that would happen, when it happened, people of God, it was like they did not remember a word that Jesus said. So we see, people of God, the word tells us he would be delivered to the Gentiles. And we saw where he was delivered to the Roman governors to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he would rise again. So we see he spoke of his death and his resurrection to his disciples. So we see in verse 20, the word of God said, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. The mother of Zebedee's sons, and those are James and John. We know James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So the mother came to Jesus, kneeling down, asking something from him. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 20. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Look on what this woman is coming to ask Jesus for. That her sons would sit, one on the right hand and one on the left in your kingdom. So we see people of God, the mother of James and John, came to Jesus kneeling. And she came kneeling, which is a sign of worship. She realized that he was the Messiah King. So she came and she kneeled down and worshiped him. Then asking Jesus to allow her two sons places of prominence in the kingdom of God. One on the left and one on the right. So we see people of God, she had an earthly mindset. She did not understand that Jesus' kingdom was spiritual. So we see people of God, many thought that the Messiah would come and set up an earthly kingdom. So even though they were coming, kneeling before him, they thought that he would overthrow Rome and set up an earthly kingdom. Even his disciples, they thought that way as well. Even his disciples, even after his resurrection, they were asking him, are you going to now take over the kingdom from Rome? So we see the mindset had to change. So this woman did not have the right mindset. She did not understand spiritual things. She did not understand that Jesus' kingdom was spiritual. But look on verse 22, people of God, how Jesus responded. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. So you see, people of God, we are asking. They were asking without understanding. You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So we see, people of God, it is obvious that James and John and his mother, they did not know or understand what they were asking of Jesus. Only Jesus alone could bear the suffering that he did. Only Jesus alone could bear that suffering and that death and being buried and rose again after the third day. Only Jesus alone, people of God, could go through that. They said that they were able to go through what he went through because of their ignorance to what his mission was. They did not understand, people of God. They knew he was different. They knew he was the Messiah King, but they did not understand his mission. They thought he was here to set up an earthly kingdom. So we see James and John, their mother, came asking on their behalf that her sons be placed at places of prominence in his kingdom, not understanding that the kingdom of God was spiritual. So Christ came to set up a spiritual kingdom at his first coming. But he's coming back, people of God, to set up a physical kingdom where he will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So look at verse 23 of Matthew 20. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared for my Father. So Jesus said they will indeed drink his cup and be baptized with his baptism. And we see, people of God, as the church was being persecuted, the church went through a lot of persecution, a lot of suffering. So they also went through some suffering and persecution. We see even James, the brother of John, the word tells us in Acts 12, even James, the brother of John, was beheaded for his faith. He was beheaded by King Herod for his faith. So they will indeed drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism. They will indeed go through suffering and death. But to really sit on my left and on my right, Jesus said, it's not for me to give. So he said it was up to the Father to place them in a place of prominence. So it was not for him to do that. So we see people of God, what they were asking. They were asking out of ignorance. They did not understand Jesus' kingdom. They did not understand that the Messiah came to set up a spiritual kingdom. The word of God tells us, Jesus himself said, that this kingdom is not by observation. You don't look here and say, here is this kingdom and there is the kingdom. Because it's not a physical kingdom. He said the kingdom is in you. So people of God, when Christ comes, he comes to rule in our hearts. He has sent his blessed Holy Spirit to rule in our hearts. So when he comes to live with us and in us, he rules. When he's ruling in our hearts, people of God, the kingdom is in us. The kingdom has been set up in us. So we have to understand that Christ came to set up a spiritual kingdom when he came first. But he's coming back to set up a physical kingdom where he will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look on verse 24 of Matthew 20. And when the 10 heard it, so the 10 other disciples heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. So when the other 10 disciples heard what they were asking, they were displeased with James and John. Look at verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Verse 26, he continues, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. So we see, people of God, two different kingdoms, the kingdom of the world, which represents darkness, the kingdom of God, which represents light. They function differently. So we see the kingdom of the world, kingdom of darkness, function differently from the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world, we see they treat people as slaves. But in the kingdom of God, those who are called to lead are called to serve. Those that are called to be great, to be in leadership position, are called to be servants. We see Jesus himself, the greatest leader of all. We see, people of God, that he fashioned himself as a man and he came to serve. So we see the word of God tells us in verse 27 of Matthew 20, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. That's Jesus still speaking. Whoever desires to be first among you, whoever desires to be your leader, let him be your servant. Look at verse 28. Jesus, as the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, the Son of God, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus made use of every opportunity, people of God, to teach his followers, to teach his disciples. He taught them that they cannot be like the world. They cannot be like the world. We have to understand, people of God, we can't be like the world. The world does things differently from us. The world represents the kingdom of darkness. We are now in the kingdom of light. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we have to know that our kingdom operates differently from the kingdom of darkness. So they exercise authority over those that they are in charge of. But the people of God's kingdom must learn that their greatness comes from serving. Our greatness comes from serving, people of God. When we learn to be servant leaders, then we become great in the kingdom of God. But many of us are, as leaders, are looking for others to serve us. It's wrong. We are still in darkness, people of God. We have to understand that God is calling us to be children of light. So we are called to know that God's kingdom operates differently. That those that are seeking for greatness must serve, must know that greatness comes from serving. So we see, people of God, Jesus, who is the greatest of all, came to serve. We see the kingdom of God is different from the world's kingdom. Jesus let them know that any one of them who desires to be greatest should become their servant or slave. Jesus reminded them that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to sacrifice his life for humanity. He did not come to be served. He did not come looking for people to serve him, but he came to serve, people of God. He came to serve and to sacrifice his life for humanity. So let us turn to Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. And read about what Jesus truly did for us. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to sacrifice my life for humanity. He laid down his life for a ransom for many. The word tells us, as we refer to Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. The word tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So he did not think that he was diminishing who he was. But he made himself of what? No reputation. He did it. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Taking the form of a bondservant, people of God. And the bondservant would do the most menial task. The bondservant in the home of the master would wash the feet of those guests that come into the house. And he would the bondservant would do all the menial jobs. And we see in John 13 when Jesus took basin and water and towel and washed his disciples' feet, he was demonstrating that he came to serve. He came as a bondservant. That's what the word of God says. And coming in the likeness of men, the word said, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. So people of God, when we are called to serve, we are to serve with humility. The word said, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we see, people of God, he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has what? Highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Adonai. He is Lord. He is Lord of all. He is the Lord of lords. So he is the master of masters. He is the greatest of all, to the glory of God the Father. So we have to understand, people of God, Jesus did not come to be served. He is the Son of Man. The Son of Man is also the Son of God. The perfect God-man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave up his life, people of God, to pay our sin debt so that you and I today can go free. So people of God, we are called to understand and to know what Christ has done for us at the cross. So let us not go as if we do not know, but we need to go with revelation knowledge of who Christ is so we can serve him acceptably. So we have to understand, people of God, the mission of Christ. And let us not be there trying to look for the greatest position. But as we are positioned in the body of Christ, let us come to understand that we are called to serve. It's not about us, people of God. It's not about us and we and our titles. But we are called to serve. We are called to emulate Jesus Christ. We are called to live like him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to serve humanity. He came to give up his life, a ransom for many. He was obedient to the cross, people of God. He was obedient to undergo that gruesome death for us. People of God, he paid that sacrifice for us. He demonstrated that love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us, people of God. He is a good shepherd that laid down his life for us. No one took his life from him. He laid it down for us. He sacrificed his life for humanity. He gave up his life for us. So we have to understand, people of God, that Christ has come to die on that cross for us. And he is given a name that is above every other name. He's Adonai. He is the Holy One. He's the Righteous One. He's the Great I Am. So we must reverence him. We must honor him. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Look at Matthew 20, verse 29. The word of God said, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him." A great multitude was following him. And we see crowd always following Jesus. Why? There's always a crowd following him, people of God. Because he went about doing good, healing the sick. And we see that, people of God, he did all these good works while he was here on earth. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we see he went about doing good. He healed those who were oppressed of devils. And we see, people of God, he healed all those who came to him. So a great multitude was always following him. Look at verse 30. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.'" So we see, people of God, as he was passing in Jericho, two blind men were sitting by the roadside. When they heard, people of God, they could not see physically, but they heard that Jesus was passing by. They must have heard of all the great and mighty works that Jesus is doing. So they cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So these men, people of God, even though physically blind, were able to see spiritually. They were able to see spiritually. They knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They referred to him as Lord Adonai, Son of David, referring to the Messiah that came through the lineage of David. So we see, people of God, and must understand that these blind men, physically blind, were able to see spiritually. They were able to see spiritually. They knew who Jesus was. And people of God, maybe many of them, even following in that crowd, did not truly get the revelation of who Jesus is. So we can be in church and we can be going around saying that we are Jesus' followers, but we do not get the revelation of who Jesus is. So we want to be people who cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, reveal yourself to us." So as Paul prayed for the Ephesian brethren, that they would, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God would come to them. So we pray today also for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who Christ is to come to his people, to come to the body of Christ. For we see these two blind men, they knew who Jesus is. They referred to him as Lord, and they also referred to him as the Son of David, knowing that he was truly the Messiah King that came through the lineage of David. So we see in verse 31, the word of God says, "Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.'" So we see the crowd wanted them to be silent. The crowd wanted them to be quiet, but they cried out even more. And people of God, when we are desperate, we are going to cry out even more. No one will be able to silence us, but we are going to be crying out even more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us. So they knew who Christ is. So they cried out to him, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. So people of God, God is willing and ready to bestow his mercy upon us, but we must cry out to him. We must be like these blind men who cried out to Jesus, have mercy on us. So look on verse 32, people of God, of Matthew 20. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? So Jesus wants us, people of God, to voice our request to him. Jesus wants us to voice our request. So he stopped and asked them, what do you want me to do for you? So people of God, we don't just come and cry out Jesus, but don't tell him what we want him to do. We must tell him what we want to do, we want him to do for us. Look at verse 33 of Matthew 20. They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So their request, people of God, was for them to receive their sight. Their request was for them to receive their sight. So people of God, when we are tired of our state of blindness, we will call out to Jesus to open the eyes of our heart so that we may see him. We want the eyes of our hearts to be open, people of God. We want revelation of who Christ is. So as we call out to him, we say, Lord, we want to know you more. We want fresh revelation. We want a fresh encounter with you. We want our eyes to be open to who you are, Jesus. We want to see you for who you are. We want to see you like Isaiah saw you, high and lifted up. So we see these men wanted physical sight. But people of God, many of us in the great church of God, we need spiritual sight. We need to be able to see Christ high and lifted up. The word said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we pray that our hearts will become pure, that we will see God high and lifted up. We will see him in his exalted position. We will see him as the one who reigns supreme. Look at verse 34. The word of God said, so Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So we see Jesus' heart of compassion for people move him to miraculously restore sight to these two blind men. Their response to the miracle was to follow Jesus. The question I will ask you today, what is your response to Jesus' daily miracles in your life? What is your response to Jesus' daily miracles in your life? And people of God, we must confess that every day we get up and we find ourselves breathing, it's a miracle. So how do we respond daily to the miracle of Jesus in our lives? God bless you here. Thank you all for listening. We'll stop here for this evening. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for who you are. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you're a God of great compassion. And I pray that you will continue, oh God, to lead and guide us, oh God, into all truth. Help us to know your will and to continue to walk in your ways. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the week and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In the Lord is
love, reproofs of instruction. Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.